This is the Iran Human Rights Podcast, a closer look at major human rights issues by the International Campaign for Human Rights in Iran. Today we're discussing literature of the Iranian diaspora with our guest, Persis Karim. She's an Iranian-American poet and professor. She's also the editor of several anthologies of literature by Iranian writers. Her latest is titled Tremors. Persis Karim, thank you for joining us. You've published a number of anthologies featuring work by both Iranian Americans and by Iranians scattered across the globe. Why is it important to connect these voices?
Literature, whether it's poetry or fiction or nonfiction, offers a different kind of perspective, often one that's more rooted in the human story as opposed to the governmental political narrative that I think is the sort of pervasive narrative that people hear all the time. Like every day there's a headline about the hostilities between Iran and the U.S. or Iran and Israel. And it's really a governmental rhetorical narrative as opposed to human beings who are basically living, struggling, dealing with the effects of governments and policies and oppressive conditions that are created either by one government or another.
There's one story in your anthology, Tremors, entitled White Torture. It's the story of a woman in prison waiting to be interrogated. She's reflecting on her life and, in particular, on the events that led her to this point in time, specifically her involvement in anti-government activities after a demonstration.
So that is a story authored by a woman named Farnoush Moshiri, who actually left Iran under very difficult circumstances, escaped Iran. She herself had been jailed several times. And that story in some ways speaks to the idea that Iran has had a very long history of violence against its own citizens, especially citizens who have spoken up to try and create the conditions of democracy or tried to create the conditions of human rights and have met with repression.
Now, you work a lot with Iranian-American writers who are no longer in the country, but what do you know of the situation for writers who are still there working in Iran?
As far as the situation on the ground, I'm not as familiar with the day-to-day struggles for human rights, but I can tell you that writers are targeted often, and one only needs to look at the number of journalists who are now imprisoned inside of Iran. And of course, many of those who were detained and arrested and facing terribly long jail sentences were arrested in the period after the disputed 2009 elections.
And what creative restrictions are writers facing in Iran? Isn't all creative work supposed to go through a board of censors?
The difficulties of expressing oneself are really incredibly hard because of exactly what you said, the board of censors. So books don't make it. They don't make it. What happens is people self-censor. So one of the most effective ways to censor people is to create the conditions where people themselves censor their own work because they know that it's dangerous. So what you have is the culture of self-censorship, which gets reproduced over and over again, where people don't write about certain topics because they know that they risk the idea of being questioned, imprisoned, jailed, maybe even killed. So I think that that's a very powerful aspect of what having a board of censors for as long as Iran has does to people. It makes them not write about certain topics or only write about them in very veiled and allegorical ways. Or it makes them say, forget it. I can't live in a society where I can't express myself.
So a lot of writers are leaving the country to continue their work elsewhere. to be more free with regards to what they write about? What are some of the main human rights issues that Iranian writers are addressing these days?
Yeah, the kinds of issues that I think are obviously important in Iran and in some ways a byproduct of what people are writing about and a byproduct of who is doing the writing now outside of Iran, and that is women's issues. The struggle for women to be seen and heard and to have access to education and opportunities, not unlike, you know, women all over the Middle East these days. I also think that Iranian writers, whether they're writing in English or other languages, are sort of saddled, I think, to a great extent. And I mean that very literally, saddled with the idea that, like, they're called upon to represent and speak about, you know, what's happening in Iran. And I think sometimes that's a really hard position to be in as an artist, because you both want to correct the images and you also don't want to feel like that's the only thing you can write about.
Speaking of women's issues, you wrote a poem called The Execution of Atafeh, which was inspired by a true story. Can you tell us about it?
It's a poem about a 16-year-old girl who was executed in Iran, I think in 2005. She was accused of being in an adulterous relationship with an older man. And, you know, the circumstances of her arrest were that she was accused of sleeping with an older man and was portrayed as, like, you know, whorish, for lack of a better word. And the man was given 100 lashes and she was executed and hung from a crane in a square in Iran.
Would you read it for us?
She was a tired girl trapped in a woman's mind, thinking of cigarettes and sex on tender afternoons. She couldn't help herself. Her anger resided at the tip of her tongue, in the color of her lips. First, she gave herself to the boy next door, then later to a man twice her age. The reports say she was mentally incompetent. When she faced the judges for acts incompatible with chastity, her quiet state of madness grew louder. She spoke against her accusers, lashing her tongue 100 times against the body of men wrapped in white cloth and holiness. Weeks later, her body hung from a rope tied to a crane in Necha Square. Beneath the black folds of cloth that would erase her, those passing by saw the scorn in her past virgin face. They made themselves feel better, speaking under their breath. She was a whore, a temptress, a victimizer of men. That night, her body lay in the hot, humid ground. Someone, perhaps the men, dug her up, fearful that her skin and bones might eat away at the soft earth where mortal men walk. She has risen again, some say, given her body over to the flight of souls, to watchful eyes that entreat us to remember the body from which we came.
Thank you. What struck you about this particular story, the story of Atafeh?
For me, I identified with the idea that, you know, women are just, you know, they're vilified by the law. Over and over again. And you can see that with the work of somebody like Shirin Ebadi, you know, who's really championed the struggle for women's human rights and dignity. And then essentially she was forced into exile after 2009 and stripped of her Nobel Prize. And she still is, you know, championing the cause of women and human rights in Iran, but still also resisting the call to, like, attack Iran militarily. And I think those two things need to be declared with equal importance. And I want to make that very much a part of what I do, both as a writer and as somebody who cares about what transpires inside of Iran.
That was Persis Karim, poet, professor, and editor. She'll be in New York City on December 4th at the Asia Society for an event called Shattering the Stereotypes, Iranian Americans in Fiction. She'll be in discussion with three other Iranian American writers. For more on this event, go to asiasociety.org. Her latest anthology, titled Tremors, New Fiction by Iranian-American Writers, is also available now. And you can learn more about her on her website, persiskarim.com. That's all for this edition. For more news about human rights issues in Iran, visit our website at iranhumanrights.org. Join us next time for the Human Rights Podcast. Thanks for listening. Thank you.